Skuespillerpodden.
I dag stiller vi spørsmålet, hva gestisk teater? Gestisk teater, begrep knyttet til spesielt tysk teaterkunst og skuespillkunst, I tradisjonen fra den tyske dramatikeren og regissøren Bertolt Brecht. That's why this episode will happen in English, because we have a German guest. He is a docent für Schauspielkunst, professor in acting. Harald Fiermann is originally an actor trained from Hamburg and then director trained from Ernst Busch in Berlin. Today's question, what is gestural theater is strongly connected to this institution, but also German style of acting overall. I would even say in German movies. But first of all, can you, Harald, say two things about Ernst Busch Hochschule for Schauspielkunst to the ones that have never heard about it?
Yeah, well, I can say that the University for Acting Ernst Busch is I would say, one of the strongest acting schools in Germany, and it is an acting school that is from former GDR, was in the East Berlin acting school, and yeah, it's one of the most popular, best acting schools, and it is famous for this theater method of gestural theater, developed by Rudolf Penka and Klaus Klavitta.
So these are pedagogues from Ernst Busch.
Yeah, Rudolf Penka was an acting teacher and Klaus Klavitta was a voice teacher. And this is also maybe what I could say what is very special about Ernst Busch is that that the different departments in the education, they work together. Voice teachers, acting teachers, also body work teachers, they're all working on this idea of gestural theater. Not all, but many of them. So is the student is not meeting everywhere a different method and a different idea of theater, but so they're inspired in different courses and in different departments with this idea of theater. And this is, I think, very special at Ernst Busch.
And this started to develop maybe in the 60s already?
Yeah, I think 60s.
Yeah.
Rudolf Penka was developing it, starting to develop it.
And somehow he was also inspired by Bertolt Brecht.
I would say this method is inspired by late Stanislavski, the exercises from late Stanislavski, and the theory from Bertolt Brecht.
Just to start with, could we say a couple of things about Brecht's perspective on acting?
One very important point that this theater Bertolt Brecht wanted to do is it was a theater that everyone should understand, that it's not just an intellectual idea. He also did theater for the workers, and he tried to create a theater form that makes people not feel in the first point, but think. And it was important for him to portray the world as changeable, not as something like given from God, from somewhere. This is the world how it is, and we have to accept it, but to see that all what we are doing because of the social circumstances we are living in, and we can change this social circumstance. And so his whole method was based on this idea, and all the tools he developed were like, how can I show that all we do are is our decisions? Everything we are, I'm not doing this, but doing that. This is maybe one of the not, but one of the important acting tools in Brecht's acting.
So to be an actor is to take a position.
Yeah, for me, actors are storytellers.
Mm. And that means to take a position.
To take a position, because I have to. Why am I telling the story? What for? And this, I think this often is missing, because often just I meet actors that think like, oh, I hope to be good. I hope I can manage to tell the story, to play a strong role. But it's a totally different approach to say, no. I have to decide what I want to tell and why. Yeah, and I think this gives a lot of freedom and a lot of strength. So it's not only just a small actor that tries to be good, but it's a response. I'm a responsible artist and who wants to tell something to the people because I have something to say. I have something to change. Theater is about relationship and about behavior between people. So I tell stories about relationships and we see them and say, oh, why are they behaving like this and not like that? Why is this relationship like this and not like this? So in everything we do, there has to be something of this, what we're not doing. Everything that's done, we think this is like, it's given. It's written in the play, so this is what the person is doing. But to say, no, even here, the figure in the play is deciding to do this. We can also still play what the person is not doing to make this decision for something clear. Right. Making decisions is one of the most important things. And for this, I need an interest in the world. I like to say talent is interest. It's not, how am I a good actor? Am I acting good? No, I have a huge interest. So I need an interest for the world, for the things that go on, that I can decide which part of reality I want to bring on stage. If I'm not interested, if I'm also in acting school, it's a huge problem because the students are working all the time, the schedules are too full. So they have no time to dream, they have no time to create an interest. You can say they're only trying to make it good what the teachers want or so, I think sometimes, and we should give more space for them that they become responsible artists.
I don't know if you work like this as a pedagogue, but in the beginning of a classical Penka and Busch education is very often observation. Is that correct?
Yeah, one of the first exercises I like to do, if I have a long 9-week acting course or so, I send the students out in the street and say, and this is also, what do I say? What is the exercise? I say, go in the streets, observe the reality, the people around you. And if you see someone who takes your interest, observe this person longer. Think about, why is this person taking my interest? Observe it longer, maybe follow it. and then decide what interested you and bring this observation back to the stage. But the art of observation, this is also like being able to describe, why did I do these decisions? What was really interesting me? And also the people that observe in the class, they have to describe, what do you think was interesting the student that did this observation?
So the other one has to comment on what you're presenting.
And I would not say comment, I would say describe.
Okay.
What do you think? Why do you think this was interesting, the person, the student? And they have to be able to describe what they saw. For this, you have really to observe and not just to consume what you see.
So to be an active spectator, is that a...
Yeah, absolutely, an active spectator. I mean, especially in the class, for me, I always like to say that the observers are the same important like the people on stage. Because I also think if you are able, as a student, as an acting student or an actor, to describe what you see, then you can also, you already learn to make your own decisions for what you want to play. Because you have to be aware what everything we do on stage is telling something. Everything we do. Yeah. So we are also in the gestural theater. Everything is gestic. Gestures are gestic. Mimic is gestic. Words are gestic. Yeah. I'm gestic while talking now. I'm trying to get you a strong idea, or the people that listen, a strong idea of my theater method. This is what I do. I want to inspire you, maybe. Yeah. To light fire for this theater method. This is my action. So words are as well an action. So, and if I can describe what I see, I'm more aware of what I do on stage on my own.
Harry is using a lot of gestures talking about this, which leads us in this way of thinking. You have a term called social gestus. What is that?
Yeah, so gestus is really a word Bertolt Brecht invented. Brecht explained a gestus is a complex of gestures, mimic, and normally as well verbal expressions that one or more people are directing towards one or more people. Yeah? And he says also normally a gestus is social. Social just means that it is in a relationship to someone else. The king is not the king alone on the toilet. The king becomes the king if the servants are around, for example. The beggar is not a beggar if he's just standing somewhere alone in the street or at home. He becomes the beggar if he asks someone for money, right? So he has a social gestus. Also, the servant has a social gestus with the king. He becomes a servant, not alone, smoking a cigarette outside the door. We always want to change someone. Everything, and this is the idea of the gestural theater, that everything we do is directed towards someone because it wants to change someone. We always want to change someone.
So the social gestures, do they then, if we could sort of just take them on and put them on stage, they will immediately tell us something about the relationship between two people?
Yeah.
Is that a way to think about it?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a social gestus towards some people. Yeah, when this can change. You know, when someone is talking to his admired boss, yeah, he maybe has the gestus of an employee that goes in a lower position in front of the boss. Mm. But maybe at home, when the child is, I don't know, doing something not nice, then he becomes the gestus of a father educating the child. Right. So the same person we have different gestus in our life all the time. And this is a tool for acting. That's the main point, that we are aware of this. Me as an actor, I can create my figure in a way I want. I can create the gestures because I can decide how I use my voice, how I use my gestures and my mimic towards my partner. This is my decision. So this is also a technical thing. But I can steal from reality. Because if I'm a good observer in reality, I can see this and imitate the gestures of people I see.
Does that mean that a character is being built up by the different social gestures it uses in different scenes?
Yeah.
Toward other characters? Is that the way to think about it?
Yeah, Brecht made a difference between character and figure. And for Brecht, like, a character is something that is not changeable. This is a character of the person. He is like this, she is like that, right? The figure is something that the artist is creating as the artist wants to create it, depending on the story the artist wants to tell. So there is not the Harry. There's Harry in different situations. So there's Harry the father, there's Harry the partner, there's Harry the friend. There's Harry the teacher, maybe, you see. So, and
Harry on podcast.
Harry on podcast for Norway, trying to explain his theater method and sharing his passion for theater. So there's not the Harry. But if you see Harry in different situations, you get maybe an idea of the figure of Harry. And in this way, the same, you can... As an actor, you can, if you have a figure in a whole play, you can decide how this figure, I want to portray this figure behaving in different situations. And this is depending on what kind of a figure do I want to create in the play. So sometimes actors say like this line, oh no, my character would not do that, right? And I think, who knows? I don't know what I would do in some situation.
Mm.
I can't say it. Mm. So, and what is the aim? The aim is to create a figure that's most interesting, and maybe we are full of contradictions. Yeah, we say one thing and we do the other thing, and that's interesting. And this is what we can create. So we can create the figure as we want it. So there's no need. Oh, but I didn't feel to do it. But if you want to do it, then do it. However you feel. Maybe you start to feel while you're doing it. Yeah. So this is how I see it. It's making decisions what you want to portray, and these decisions are depending on the reality, on what you want to tell. This is your social responsibility, right, as an artist. What do I want to tell, and with which means of theater can I tell what I want to tell? It's not how much do I have to feel. It is what can I do. It's very practical. And for this we have gestures, mimic, and words. That's all. I like this because it's concrete. It's not magic. Oh, I didn't feel it. The atmosphere was not, I don't know. Yeah, I was not transparent enough. No, it was just, what else can I do that the people will read what I want to tell?
When you talk about the difference between a character and a figure, and you say that a character is something unchangeable, this is how the person is, and the figure is something that is defined by the situation, right? With different social gestures. Would you say that in this thinking, a character really doesn't exist, or you would be critical toward even portraying a character?
Well, Brecht, I think, would say like that he's just not interested in the character.
No, okay.
Because it's not changeable. And he wants to show that the world is changeable and that everyone is changeable and that we all can change our behavior. This other thing is then maybe like a long psychological discussion. Is there something what's born into us, what we can't change? I don't know.
But it's an interesting perspective because it may be imply that there is some ideological or ethical thinking behind the way you work.
Yeah, you're right. And also to be aware that this whole world we are living in is a construction of human beings. It is changeable. It's not an earthquake that suddenly happens and we can't change it. Everything what's done by human beings can be changed. And this, we forget this because very often we think this is how the world is. We have to accept it, but no, everything is a construction. And this, yep. And this is what Brecht wants to show, that we can change it. And it's not like, yeah, this is how the world is. And then we sit there as an audience, are very sad and say, yeah, yeah, the world is so bad. That's how it is. No, the people should think and say, why is it like this? Why isn't it like that? Why is this person making this decision at this moment? The person could decide something else. And then maybe the person thinks, oh, I am also doing sometimes this decision. I could also decide, make a different decision. And then the process of thinking starts. And this is the way how Brecht wanted to do theater.
And what does that mean in the way the actor actually works?
Do you mean on stage?
In rehearsal period. Mm. Like, would you point out some places where we can see this sort of underlying thoughts about, okay, you're creating a figure, you're basing that on social gestures. How do I work with as an actor then, trying to find a way to act my character or figure on stage?
Yeah.
What would be unique here in that?
No, yeah, for me, the first important thing is really this, that the actor has this awareness that everything he's doing has something to do with the society. It is social. It is it's not just some person. It's someone who is part of this society, and all our behavior is because we are living in this society. It is influenced by the society we are living in, and this awareness, I think, changes them, because often it's just the people, they just read the play and they try to understand the character. But to say, no, which story do I want to tell with my figure doing this play? And this will have an influence on the decisions they make. And I always want the actors to make decisions before they go on stage. Sure, they can also make decisions while they are on stage. I'm not against that, not at all. But very often they're just going on stage without any decisions. They just try to do something somehow. Let's see what happens. I learn my text. I'm open. But they don't say, no, this is a story I want to tell. And how can I tell it? Yeah. And this, I think, changes a lot. And for this, there are exercises, techniques, tools to prepare, right? And sure, maybe if you are always aware of that, then you can also more easy cut away what you're not interested in for your story. Then you say, this is not interesting for us. It's not about right or wrong. It's about what is more interesting and what is less interesting. And you can cut away this and make big what you want. And for this, you can use all theatrical means. This means you can break the fourth wall, you can show a movie, you can talk to the audience, you can dance, you can sing, whatever supports your aim of what you want to tell, right? And I think this is just a different approach than, oh, I hope I was acting good, yeah, and strong and emotional. No, the question is, did the story was strong to be understood in the audience? This is the category we are talking about. Did we tell our story strong enough, or can we tell it more strong? And what can I do to tell it more strong? I think this is just a different way of thinking as an actor. I'm a very emotional storyteller. That doesn't mean this is a wrong understood Brecht, this technical idea. I step back from the figure. I say, look at this. I have a distance to my figure. I don't maybe I have a distance to the figure, but I don't have a distance to the story I'm going to tell. And if this, there's no distance to the story because I have a big need to tell a story, it can be very emotional telling the story. It can become through the actions.
When we talk about emotions in acting in a classical Stanislavski way, it's often that you're supposed to relive the emotions of the character. And what you say here is maybe it's not a problem to be emotional on stage, but the goal is not to relive the character's emotion.
Mm.
Is that, yeah, would that be correct?
Yeah, I think that sure, if you feel like it's needed to understand the story, then the actor says, and here now I go deeply into this emotion because I have to understand how this person felt. So I try to imitate this moment, how the person, but I would always think more about the action than the feelings. How the person tried to push away the pain, maybe, or so. What is the action? Now, I like the word actor very much because they are not feelers. They are actors. So theater is about actions and not about feelings. Feelings come up if you find strong actions. If I show someone who is pushing away the pain, maybe this person starts to cry because it's not possible, because if I really go into this, right? But the approach is always from what do I want to tell? And not, will I manage to really live through it? This is a different approach. But it can happen. It's one of the tools for the storyteller to show how the person behaved and also maybe how emotional the person became in acting.
When it comes to movies, to film art, how do you think this way of thinking works with movies? I mean, there's a lot of German actors coming from this tradition that also act in movies.
So, absolutely. So I feel like there are some very, very good actors also that come from Ernst Busch, for example, like Nina Hoss, Lars Eidinger, doing many movies, Nina Hoss now, in Hollywood now, this Tar movie with Cate Blanchett. And they're very good. And I think they're so good because they're able to build their figure as they very strong, as they want to portray it. They're not just trying to play. They are intelligent actors. That's how I would call them. Intelligent actors means like that they think, what do I want to tell? And with which theatrical means can I tell what I want to tell? They're not just trying to play it good, right? So this is their quality, I think. And you can do this also in movie. You have maybe to be more subtle, right? And the also like the sure, in movies, this scene, this scenography is much more naturalistic. In theater, you work very different. You can tell, but this is what I love about theater, that you can be in an empty space, but you can travel to the whole world and to other worlds. It's much more naturalistic in movie. So it's different, but I think the way how they create a figure, this is the same approach. And then they have to act concrete. This is the method also. The method is not showing a distance all the time. It's to find strong and concrete actions to tell what you want to tell with your figure. And this, I think, this is what these actors can do very well. And to show the contradictions in the figure and everything like this. To construct a very strong contradictional figure.
To clarify the figure's position or starting point in a scene on stage, you use some questions.
Yeah. Who? Where is it? When is it? Why is the figure doing what the figure is doing in the beginning of the scene? And what for? And then there's another one. It's not with a W in English. It's a how. What do I want to tell? Is Hamlet a young prince who is betrayed for his throne? Or is Hamlet a son who lost his father and got a new father now? Or is Hamlet a son that is not understanding why his mother is not mourning and directly loving someone else? Or is Hamlet a young man who feels to be wrong in this world because he's the only one who tries to be honest and true and all the other one are only pretending? So if the actor decides who is Hamlet in this scene, it will change his behavior towards the others on stage.
Often in German theater context, it seems like the actor comes quite early in the rehearsal period knowing the text. While in Scandinavian theater, it's almost opposite. Nobody learns the text before the end of the rehearsal process. The method here, is that connected to that somehow?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question, Øystein. And I would say, me in my development as an artist, I'm still thinking of that. I want the actors to know the text well, to really use them in a gestic way. Like, no, I like a gesture. If I would have long time in rehearsing, I would love to experiment to rehearse very concrete on the situations without the text. That maybe that at some point when we use the text directly becomes so strong because the situation is so clear and the why and the what for, no? And the relationship and the subtext. So this can be very interesting. So I will not say, would not talk against it, but the danger if you don't use the text is a bit, I think that it stays, very general.
You have been teaching acting all over the world. You've also been teaching at the Academy of Theatre in Oslo. Is there something that strikes you as common in Norwegian acting or actors?
Definitely, the first thing I want to say is, like, for me, the KIO is a good place and a strong place. What I felt like I always met interesting students there, engaged, interesting, strong students. That's good, and also compared to different places in the world, for me, KIO is a strong place. What I faced there is this, I think, this thought of living through something, being transparent, being open. What you said, what's all not bad. But this relationship to the reality, the social aspect, why am I telling the story? Why do I want to play this? This was mostly missing me. Mm. So I met many students doubting a lot with themselves. Am I a good actor? Am I able to live it? Am I able to do this strong, to be emotional? And I always try to get them away from that. And getting them, becoming that, making them a stronger storyteller, maybe they came even closer to themselves because they didn't think so much about, are they a good actor? But they started to take responsibility. This is what I want to tell. And this gives you a much bigger strength and a freedom. This was, I think, what I faced quite a lot, this thinking too much about themselves instead of thinking about a society. What do I want to tell? They are already artists when they come there. They are personalities. That's why KIO chose them. So maybe it's important to trust the students that we chose you because you are like this. So we support you now to tell something and not to show you what you have to learn. What are you, what's missing? This is my big question. How can I strengthen the actors and the students instead of showing them what's missing to them?
Skådespelarpodden in i øyra di. Skådespelarpodden in i sjela di.
Skuespillerpodden er produsert på Teaterhøgskolen ved Kunsthøgskolen i Oslo med filmmagasinet Rushprint og teatertidsskriftet scenekunst.no som samarbeidspartnere.